welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everyone is having an absolutely blessed day today. And how are you doing today, Dad?
Austin, absolutely wonderful. Today, I want to talk to you for just a second about self-medication. And you're like, what the heck's Ted on a tangent about now? Here's the thing. A lot of people have things that have happened to them in their lives, and they have a hard time dealing with them. And it's just a normal part of the growth process, to be honest with you guys. We all have stuff in our past that we've had to deal with. But a lot of folks don't want to deal with their past, or they don't want to take responsibility for actions that they may have done that may have caused other types of actions. Just moments ago, I spoke to a subcontractor's son who was basically thrown out of high school when he was 17 years old, thrown out. And he's got a little bun on the top of his head, so I was busting his chops about the bun on his head. And I said to him, I said, why are you not in high school? Because, you know, I said, did you graduate? He goes, nah, man, I got kicked out. I said, you got kicked out of high school? He goes, yeah. And I said, what did you get kicked out for? And he kind of dropped his head. He didn't tell me. And I said, looked at him. I said, bud, I said, don't worry about what you got kicked out for. It doesn't matter. Just, you know, get your GED, go on down the road. I said, you know, do what you need to do and don't act like you did in high school. He goes, I know I made some mistakes. Let me say something to you real quick. All of us have had to deal with stuff. You know, I was raised by a mother who was pretty much a functioning alcoholic who was suffering from post-traumatic stress syndrome from what happened to her in Germany during the World War II. And, you know, she would go for sometimes a week at a time, drunk, in bed, and not speak to me or my sister. You say, well, you never told us that before, Ted. Well, yeah, I'm just telling you that right now. And, you know, and you say, well, how did that affect you? And I said, it hasn't affected me. You know, I don't let that affect me. You know, same thing with my mom and my dad. They got divorced. And people always say, well, how do you deal with that? I'm like, I don't deal with that. That's not my problem. That's their problem. I had nothing to do with that. It takes two people to get married, two people to get divorced. And so if they can't get along, they're going to get divorced. Why is that going to affect the children? Now, parents, let me give you a little tidbit real quick. Don't badmouth the other parent to your kids. It's not okay. It's not cool. Because it creates problems for the kid. Then your problem with your husband or your problem with your wife becomes their problem with you and what you're saying about their family. So just be careful with all that. But here's the thing. We all have weird things that happen to us. Now, I could sit here and I could lament everything that happened in my life and go, whoa, whoa, whoa. But here's the problem. When you do that, you're looking in your rearview mirror and you're still trying to drive forward. And that's a very dangerous thing to do. You can glance in the mirror once in a while, but you can't focus on the mirror and try to drive 70 miles an hour on the interstate because you're going to get an accident. You can't go forward looking at the past. Your future has to pull you harder than your past pulls you. That's really, really important. I made a mistake when I first got married to the wrong person back in 1981. I was married for 3 years, realized a mistake, ended up not being married to that person anymore. Been married to Sharon now for 35 years, and I realized that, you know, I can't allow what I did in my past with a prior marriage affect me. Now, mind you, we didn't have any children in that marriage, so it was easy to step away from it and not have to deal with the consequences of the marriage. But everything that you do as a child, everything that you do as an adolescent, and I'm talking to kids right now too, we have a lot of kids that listen to the show, everything that you do in high school, everything that you do in college, in one way or another impacts you. Now, it may not be a turning point decision, you know, one of those breaking decisions that changes your whole life. You know, I talk about those in my book, Maximum Energy. Those decisions that you make that changes everything. You know, what you're going to major in, who you're going to marry. You know, if you're going to use drugs, if you're not going to use drugs. I mean, all these different things have these crossroad decisions in your life that you have to make those choices. Now, if you screw up and you make a choice, you can't keep screwing up and have that choice get changed. Let me talk to you about a health standpoint. If you're 20, 30, 40, 50 pounds overweight and you feel absolutely awful, what are you going to do to change that? You can't lament the fact that you ate all that food to get to be 50 pounds or 100 pounds or 200 pounds overweight. You've got to start eating less food. You've got to change your lifestyle. Just the other day, I spoke to a lady whose husband owns a bunch of dealerships around the country, super wealthy. They're probably worth hundreds of millions of dollars. And she has basically an inflammatory condition similar to lupus, and her health is a wreck. I mean, an absolute wreck. She's in her 50s. Her health is in a wreck, and she feels horrible. She's depressed. She's got all these health issues now, and she likes to drink. And, you know, and so I told her, I said, look, alcohol is an inflammatory compound. It's like sugar is, And I said, if you want to get these inflammation down in your system, you got to cut out this inflammatory compound that you're drinking and eating. You got to get rid of the sugar, you got rid of the alcohol. Well, I like to drink my wine every night. I said, well, how's that working out for you? See, and this is what we have to do. We have to learn that we don't need to self-medicate. We don't need to drink alcohol or smoke cigarettes or take drugs or smoke pot because you're unhappy with your past or something that happened to you, so you can try to forget what happened to you. When you become a Christian, you enter into God's rest, and you allow all of these burdens that you have to pass on to Christ, and you walk away from them, and you go, well, you know, I got to just clear the mechanism on that. Jesus has them now. I don't have to stay up at night and think about them anymore. And that's one of the beauties of being born again. You don't have to deal with your own problems as far as from a psychological standpoint. Now, you still may have the issues associated with your problems. If you went out as a drunk driver one night and you got into an accident, you lost your left arm and it's gone, you had to have it amputated. When you become a Christian, you still don't have an arm. It's just how it works. And so, you know, you can lament the fact that you don't have an arm, or you just move on down the road and keep on going with your life. Zig Ziglar helped me a lot with this. And Jim Rohn helped me a lot. That's R-O-H-N. Both these guys have all of their material pretty much posted on YouTube for free. They're both dead now, and they both rest in peace. And they really helped me. I remember Ziglar had a tape series called How to Eliminate Stinking Thinking. And, you know, it was a tape series. I listened to it back 40 years ago. Now I'm sure it's on CD and it's posted on the internet. He also talks about setting goals. But what you have to do, you have to set up your future in such a way that's pulling you more than your past is. I spoke to a young lady this week who's in college, and she's got some issues that happened to her in high school, and she had an abusive, you know, teacher. And I told her this morning, I was talking to her again. I said, look, I said, here's the thing. I said, this teacher that did all this stuff to you a few years ago is still controlling you. You got to step away from this. You're allowing that teacher from 2.5, 3 years ago to affect your current relationships with other people and your current reality. I said, you've got to close the door on what that person did to you. You know, when we're young as alpha males, you know, you always get into a fight. I mean, pretty much you always get into a fight. Yeah, or you may get into multiple fights. And you try to reconcile relationships, you know, through fighting, which is kind of awful and really doesn't work. But at least it gets it reconciled and removed from your consciousness, and so you don't have to deal with it anymore for the rest of your life. And I'm not advocating fighting. I'm not advocating at all. But nor am I advocating getting picked on and beaten up in school and not defending yourself. I'm not advocating that at all. But what I'm saying is, don't allow an ex-spouse or an estranged family member or somebody from work or somebody who bothered you in the past when you were in high school or elementary school or junior high school to continue to affect you your entire life. Don't allow them to force you to self-medicate with cigarettes and alcohol or pot or whatever, or prescription drugs, Xanax, Zoloft, Prozac. And my mom did that. My mom self-medicated. She smoked 5 packs of cigarettes a day. You think, well, how's that even possible? She chain smoked. She'd smoke one and light the next one with the first one, and just all day long sit like that smoking. She'd hotbox the room. If you guys don't know what that means the entire room was filled with smoke. And then you're getting the 100 cigarettes a day, you're getting the hot box effect of the cigarettes. Every night she'd go home and pretty much get drunk. Finally, one night I was an adult and I walked into the house and I was visiting from Tallahassee, and I told her, I said, you know, you didn't even wake up when I came in. I said, you know, somebody could have broken into the house and you were drunk and you were unconscious. And she goes, I really never thought about that. And at that point, it was kind of funny. She pretty much stopped drinking. It was really kind of strange how that one comment made that happen. But guys, don't allow yourself to do that. Don't allow yourself to allow your past. I'm being redundant now on purpose. Don't allow your past to dictate your future. Don't do that. You know, let's say you married the wrong person. Okay, we got that. But let's say you stayed with that person because of the kids or for whatever reason. That's okay. Let's say you've been married to them for 40 years. Okay. Hey, you know, just make the best out of it. You've done it already this long. Make the best out of it, because you don't want to be out there in a single world, especially if you're a Christian and you've got a relationship with somebody, and at least you guys get along and you have some kind of compatible relationship. Do the best you can to work it out and work through it. Go get counseling. Now, I'm not talking about psychiatric counseling. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about going to some doggone secular, hedonistic psychologist or psychiatrists, especially the psychiatrists who are going to want to put you on meds. Well, let me just give you a little bit of something to get you over this hump. What do you mean? We'll give you a little Xanax, a little Prozac, a little Zoloft. We'll just get you over the hump a little bit so you'll feel better. No.
enter into God's rest. I mean, I'm not saying that you may not need to get some type of psychiatric intervention if you're really, really in bad shape. But in the vast majority of cases, B-complex, cod liver oil, methylated B vitamins, let me make sure I say that, and a really good high-quality multiple supplement will take care of it. Yesterday, I was talking to a friend who was deathly ill this year and had a lot of health issues for the last couple of years, and had pneumonia, almost had to be hospitalized, and a whole bunch of other stuff. And I finally said to her, you know, months ago, I said, you know, you need to change your diet and you need to start taking supplements. And I talked to her yesterday. She said, hey, I'm doing great. I'm feeling great. All those issues that I had are gone. I'm just telling everybody now they need to be taking their vitamins. And that's vitamin C. That's iodine. That's D3. That's K2. You know, all the things you need for your immune system. Guys, if your brain doesn't get a sufficient high enough quantity of nutrients, okay, it doesn't function properly. You don't produce enough serotonin. And when that happens, you allow your past to overwhelm you. And a lot of people, the reason that they allow their past to be so defeating to them is they're not taking their supplements, they're not taking their Bs, they're not taking their cod, they're not taking their 5-HTP, and their brain's not producing enough serotonin, and they start dwelling on all this negative stuff. Woe is me, this happened to me when I was 6. Woe is me, this happened to me when I was 8. Woe is me, you know, Mrs. Stevens, when I was in 4th grade, took me outside and paddled me in front of the class, which, oh, by the way, that did happen to me. Woe is me. Woe is me. How could I deal with that? Woe is me. I had an absolutely awful 6th grade teacher. Woe is me. She didn't teach us anything. We lost an entire year of education. Woe is me. How has that affected me all my life? Don't do that. Don't do that. Woe is me. My girlfriend broke up with me because she was running around with somebody else and got married to somebody else and left me. Woe is me. Woe is what? Who cares? If a person wants out of your life and they step away from you, let them step away. You know, they're not a chair. You can't control them. You know, if you've got a relationship with a parent who's a nightmare, you might want to kind of step away. You know, if they're going to continually trigger you every time you get around them and say bad things to you. I mean, the other day I was talking to a family member and I said something about one of the relatives, you know, not a blood relative, but one of the relatives, and I was out of line. And I went back and I apologized. I said, I shouldn't have done that. I said, we've all got to continue to be good finders and try to support one another and find good things to say about each other. That's what we have to do in a family situation. But then again, if you have a family member who's abusive to you, you know, psychologically, mentally, verbally, heaven forbid, physically, you got to walk away. You got to say, you know, whatever. I mean, years ago, one of my family members was being the pits. And I just finally said, look, I'm done. I can't deal with this anymore. I said, dealing with you has been a lesson in frustration, and you've been an exceedingly good teacher giving me these lessons. And I said, I don't want to deal with this anymore. Until you could treat my family with mutual respect, you know, that we provide to you, I said, I don't want to talk to you anymore. I can't take it anymore. You got issues. You're not going to make your issues my problems, my issues. I'm going to step away. You've got to learn to clear the mechanism. I'm going to say one more thing, and I'm going to go on to the news today, but I want to cover this with you because it's such a big topic because so many people are drugged up, especially today's children. You've got to learn to be careful in who you associate with. Please, friends, listen to me on this. If you're hanging out with people that are drinking and boozing and taking drugs and lying and cheating and stealing and committing adultery, bad company corrupts good character. You say, well, they've been my friends since childhood. Okay, they've made some really crappy decisions. And if you continue to allow yourself to be dragged down by their decisions, it's going to affect you. I mean, here's the deal. Let's say you're in a ditch. Let's say the ditch is, you know, filling up with quicksand, and you're going to die in the ditch. And you got 6 or 8 of your friends in the ditch with you. And somebody drops you down a 20-foot extension ladder. And, you know, you got to climb out of the ditch or you're going to die because this whatever, the quicksand or the acid or whatever's coming into the ditch, and you've got to get these people out of the ditch with you. Well, what if they don't want to climb up the ladder? Have you ever thought about that? What if you say, hey, here's a ladder. No, I don't want to do a ladder. Look, bud, you're in quicksand. You're in drugs. You're in alcohol. You're in all this stuff. You've got to get out of this stuff. You're in quicksand. You're fixing to be in a vat of acid. We got to climb out. No, I don't want to. You think, well, okay, I'm going to help you out. Well, let's say you got 20 seconds to get out of the ditch, and all of a sudden you grab a 150 or 200-pound friend and you try to drag him up the ladder with you. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. You're both going to die in the acid or the quicksand. You can't get out of the ditch with them. It doesn't work. If they're not willing to step out of the ditch, if they're not willing to take the supplements to get their brain right, If they're not willing to break off bad relationships or abusive relationships, if they're not willing to stop using drugs or alcohol and they want to drag you into their ditch, you got to step out of the ditch. And you got to say, I love you. Here's the ladder. I'm going to throw a little rope down there to you too. And hope that works out for you. I got to move on down the road. I'm not going to sit here and watch you kill yourself. The Bible says, don't be a willing party to your son's death. That's what it says. Don't allow them to be empowered by you years ago. And I tell you all these personal stories. Nobody else does this stuff. I just tell you this stuff because it relates to you. I'll let you know it's from me. Years ago, Sharon's brother Todd died of a heroin overdose. That was her half-brother. Her father had gotten remarried after the parents were divorced. Sharon really didn't have a relationship with this guy who was like 37 years old. She only known him when he was young. And he had gone sideways when he was 13 years old or 14 years old and started on drug usage. His father was unaware of this or was unwilling to accept it and unwilling to mitigate or unwilling to basically fix it because he didn't believe it. It's just, I'm telling you fact, story here. And when we went to the death scene where Todd overdosed with the heroin in Orlando on Colonial Highway, they call it Heroin Highway, the guy gets into the investigator, the sheriff, gets into the car with me and Sharon. He's sitting in the front with me. And the first thing he said to me and Sharon was, who enabled this? That's what he said. The first words out of his mouth. Who enabled him to do this? You know, he's well-dressed. He's well-groomed. He's not homeless. Who enabled him to do these drugs? Who paid the bills? Guys, sometimes you got to let people go through a prodigal son experience or a prodigal friend experience. The Bible talks about prodigal son, but the prodigal friend experience, they got to walk into the pig pen for a while. They got to figure out what the real world is all about, and they got to figure out how to sort it out for themselves. You can help them. You can show them direction. You can give them guidance. Heck, you can pray for them. I pray for you guys every day. I pray for you again today. You can do everything you can possibly do, but they got to make those choices. If they're 100, 200, 300 pounds overweight, they got to stop eating the double pepperoni, pan pizza with the thick dough with 14 sodas a day. They got to stop doing that. And if they're not willing to do that, then why are you spending your energy? I had a friend of mine, knew him from 40 years ago. I've got so many friends from 40 years ago who aren't dead yet. And he basically was drinking diet sodas. And I pleaded with him and pleaded with him and pleaded with him and pleaded with him and pleaded with him. And he wouldn't listen. I like diet sodas. And he was massively overweight, 200 pounds overweight, 150 pounds overweight. And finally, I said to him, I said, it affects vision. It can cause blindness. The methyl alcohol can poison your optic nerve, causing optic nerve degradation. You go blind. I don't believe that. Blah, blah, blah. Drinking a gallon, 2 gallons a day. Finally, he calls me up like 2 years later. I'm like blind in my left eye. The doctor says I have optic nerve degradation. I said, yeah, I know. I told you that was probably going to happen. I said, I don't know how to tell you not to do this. He goes, I didn't know to do that. I said, I told you I was going to do that. You wouldn't do it. So he stopped drinking them. I mean, but what did it take? To take going blind? Does it take going blind to stop drinking diet sodas? Does it take being so depressed you can't function to stop drinking diet sodas? Does it take having a brain tumor to stop drinking diet sodas? Brain tumors, brain cancer, seizures, headaches, optic nerve degradation, depression. All of this is caused by diet sodas. What does it take not to drink diet sodas? You say, well, I like diet sodas. Okay, what does it take? What does it take to push away from artificial sweeteners? What does it take to drink your body weight in fluid ounces, you know, per ounces, like you weigh 200 pounds, 100 ounces of water a day, half your body weight in fluid ounces a day? What does it take for you to do that with distilled water? What does it take for you to stop drinking water with chlorine and fluoride? What does it take? I mean, what can I say? How much do I have to fuss? The problem is I'm not going to fuss. It's your choice. It's your choice to decide what you're going to do with your life, how you're going to live your life, and how you're going to basically pursue happiness or joy or the righteousness, peace, and joy through the infilling of the Holy Spirit. You've got to make those choices. And guys, it's so important to realize just doing little things affects your health. Doing little things affect your attitudes. And I'm going to say it one more time. Step away from your friends in the vat of acid. Step away from them. They're not worth it. I've got a guy right now that I know in high school, and he had a bad childhood. I mean, they had an outhouse in their house. They didn't have running water. Had to go outside to use the bathroom. Terrible self-esteem. And he got involved with drinking and alcohol and drugs in high school. And to this day, he is a psychological mess on a stack of drugs. and he's been in hospital time, like hospitals, like emergency room 25 times in the past couple of years with anxiety attacks, near suicidal behavior. Why? Because he's allowed his past to continue to haunt him for the rest of his life. I could say, I was raised by a mom who had post-traumatic stress syndrome. Oh, woe is me. I don't do that. God, you never hear me talk about this stuff. Because it doesn't do that to me. I don't allow it to affect me like that. You can't allow your past to dictate your future. Your future has to be pulling you much more than your past does. Austin, what do you think? And what's your first story?
Well, one of the best analogies you said in there, in that whole intro, which was excellent, by the way, is that you can't go down the interstate at 70 miles an hour looking in the rearview mirror. That sums it up right there. If you try to move forward, if you try to progress fast, if you try to go and set goals and achieve things, and you're on the road of life, and you're trying to go full throttle, I'm trying to do this, these are the goals, this is where I'm going, this is what I want to achieve, this is who I want to help, and you're trying to do all that, and you're doing it while you stare in the rearview mirror, You may be able to pull it off for a little bit. You may be able to kind of swerve out of your way. You may be able to use your peripheral on the windshield. But eventually, you're going to end up wrecking. You can't drive down the interstate all day long, every day, all day, and stare into the rearview mirror and focus on what's behind you while you're running 70 miles an hour. Can't happen. And that was an excellent analogy on that, because I've seen so many people as well do that, to where they're constantly trying to go forward. They have good personalities. They have good go-getter attitude. They try and set goals, but then they constantly go back to their past and try to focus on all these things that have happened, and in turn it always drags them down. And this is something why Dad and I had become so adamant, and a lot of people get irritated with us about this, but become so adamant on why we don't do third-party consults.
That's right. We don't do them anymore.
We have, and I've done that. I did this for years. I tried to do it. When I first started working in here, when I first started working, I was a teenager off and on. When I was in college, I did some other things in Amelia Island and so forth. When I came back and started to work full-time for Health Masters, I constantly was trying to do that. People would call in. You know, my best friend, he's on Paxil and Zoloft and Adderall and Xanax, and all he wants to do is eat pizza and Twinkies and cupcakes all day. I need you to call him for me, and I need you to convince him that he needs to take your vitamins and he needs to get better health. And I'd go, okay, yeah, yeah. And then they give you this whole story. He's doing so bad, and I feel so sorry for him, and I want to help him out so much, but he won't listen to me. I really need you to do this. And I'd do it. I'd call him up. And the conversation would usually go for about 30 seconds, and they'd first go, why are you bothering me? I don't care. Why is so-and-so telling you to call me? I have no interest in listening to anything you have to say. Click. And you go, well, he was in a bad mood. Somebody else calls up, does the same thing. And you keep doing it until you realize, if somebody doesn't want to do something, they're not going to do it. It doesn't matter how many family members try to talk them into it or how many people try to tell them what to do. If that person truly and physically has no interest whatsoever on doing that, it doesn't matter how much you nag them or you pester them. 99% of the time, they're not going to do it until they want to do it. And that's what you have to realize. Like Dad said, if you got somebody in a muddy hole and they're 20 feet down, and you go, hey, here's a ladder. And they go, I need you to come halfway down the ladder and help me up. And you go, okay, I'll come a quarter way down the ladder. And you get a quarter way down the ladder, and they grab you by the jeans. They're dragging you in the hole. And you go, dude, I got you a ladder. I have you a ladder right here. I'm just trying to give you support. Come on up. And they go, oh, no. You can't do that. And you go, okay, I'm getting out. You throw them a rope down there with big old knots in it. And you go, hey, I'm holding the rope. I'll help get you up all the way up the ladder. You get out of here. And they grab the rope, and they drop their whole dead weight on. Don't try and climb up and try to drag you in. You're about sliding the hole with them. You go, I've got you a ladder. I've got you a rope. What else do you want me to throw you in the hole? You want me to start dropping cinder blocks down there so we can stack them up and build you a wall that you can climb up? What do you want me to do? Eventually it reaches a point when you throw enough helps to somebody and you try to show them enough things to do, and they're continually dragging you down. They're continually pushing their negativity on you. They're continually putting you in a bad mood every single time you're around them because of how unbelievably negative they are. Eventually finally reaches a point where you go, dude, I'm done. This is not working for me. I'll pray for you if you need something severely, and I can go out of my way to help you. I'll address it if I need to do so. But other than that, until you want to tighten up and you actually want to help yourself, and that's kind of the issue that we've stepped into now as a society in the United States, is that nobody wants to do the hard work anymore. They want everybody else to do the work for them, and then they want to come in and say, where's my paycheck? Where's my 15%? I know you did all the work. I know you've been busting your butt for the last month. I know you put all of this together, but, you know, I was over here breathing air. I mean, you gotta understand, man, this is a difficult job being me and breathing air. I really deserve that money because you just owe it to me. Because that's what you do. You owe me money. And it doesn't have to be just money. You can use that analogy with anything. And that's what the American society now is starting to really, really depict because of the mainstream media and the social welfare state and the ideologies being spread by the hardcore leftists all across the country. This is the goal of what they want to produce, so that everybody thinks everybody is owed something from everybody. And eventually reaches a point, nobody has anything to give anybody else that's working because you have nothing left because you've gotten everything taken away from you. And that's what we have to start getting back to, is the aspect of self-sufficiency. Sometimes, if you want something done, you have to do it yourself. You hear that all the time. Winners do what they have to do. Losers do what they want to do. I could say, you know what, guys? I don't want to get out of bed more than do the show. I would rather lay in bed till 11 or 12 o'clock every day, sleep like a baby, relax, wake up, take my good little time, and not do the show. I don't care. You guys don't need to listen to the show anyways. Dad can carry it for me. Dad can carry the show for me every single day. And I'm just going to kind of get up. If I happen to get up early, I may do the show. If not, he's got the show. How long do you think he's going to keep doing the show for every single day? He may do it for a year. Maybe for 5 years, but eventually he's going to go, this is ridiculous, Austin. Your attitude is ridiculous. You don't do anything. You don't get out of bed in the morning. I'm not going to keep doing the show and try to keep everything running so you can lay in bed and sleep all day. That's the concept that so many people have failed to understand now that is being pushed in this country. Right. And until we step out of that mindset and we go, listen, if we want to be protected, we have God and we have us. We have our family. We have our friends, our close friends, our real friends. We have our protection aspect that we can rely on. We can train. We can have food. We can have water. We can have a group and a like-minded community. And we can focus on these things and do the best we can with what we got. We can be prepared and we can stay as healthy as we can. We can work out every day, 10, 20, 30 minutes a day. We can take at least a couple base supplements. It's interesting. I was talking to Dad yesterday and I said, the more I've watched now, the baby boomer generation, his generation, a lot of these individuals now that are 50, 60, 70 years old, and how early everybody's dying. Because it's interesting to me to watch the older generation, my grandma, Oma, his dad, his mom, who lived to be in her 90s, and how a lot of them, you know, a lot of them didn't even take extremely good care of themselves. They still drank some. They still smoked some. You know, a lot of times they ate pretty decent because they didn't have the GMOs back then. But they didn't have any of the pharmaceutical drugs. That's the one thing if you look at it. And I told him, I said, from this analysis I've kind of looked at, you know, over years now and looked at a lot of individuals, if you can take just moderately decent care of yourself, eat moderately clean, and take something like the Ultimate Multiple just to keep up with your vitamin mineral content, just that. I'm talking simplistic, and you eat fairly clean, and you just stay off the pharmaceuticals and out of the pharmaceutical and medical industrial complex, you'll stay pretty healthy, and I bet you'll live pretty long. That's really, because almost every time I see the decay, the rapid decay of anybody, it's almost always when they start drugs. Obviously, illicit, start doing heroin, that's obviously. But I'm talking, a lot of people don't do heroin. The medical-industrial complex has got themselves a racket now with keeping individuals as early as in their 20s on the pharmaceutical merry-go-round, adding more and more and more drugs until the point it literally eventually kills them at a very young age, or they become so sick and so debilitated they're almost worthless because all they do is spend time in the hospital, spend time in operations, spend time in tests, spend time with doctors, fill prescriptions every single week, feel horrible, horrible mental acuity. I see it every single day. So if anything we said, clicks on that, understand, just taking at least moderately good care of yourself and eating clean, taking a basic supplement like the multiple, exercising even just a little bit, and staying off the pharmaceutical drugs the best you possibly can, I think a lot of people would be much better in this country, and the overall health of this country would be significantly better, Dad. That's at least my opinion.
Well, no, that's exactly right, Austin. And see, you know, it's just so funny. I mean, the B, the C, the D, the E, the high five, hydroxyltryptophan, cod liver oil. I mean, there's so many easy ways to feel better from an emotional standpoint. Because I'm telling you guys, you know, I've had some issues. You know, we had some teenagers coming up. You know, a couple of them were pretty awful. And then we had to really deal with it. And a couple of times I got kind of low, and I knew exactly what to do. I just stacked the B, the 5-HTP, the cod, the D3. And I mean, literally within hours, I could feel the difference, and I would come back up again. Because your body can only produce so much serotonin. If you don't have the raw materials to do it, you kind of get into a deficit, especially if you're having to produce so much of it because you're dealing with, you know, the actions of children or basically friends that are basically being albatrosses. And I don't mean to be cute about that, but they are. They start getting absolutely ridiculous. I mean, and then, oh, we got to look at one other thing, too. We've got to look at what happens here with what's going on with the mercury and the aluminum in the diet. This is an article from The Federalist, and it says, the dumbest generation has gotten even dumber 10 years later. A decade after The Dumbest Generation was published, there is still much reason for hand-wringing about the future of our children, our nation, and we must take responsibility if we want to turn the tide. Unsurprisingly, average SAT scores dipped for 2019's high school graduates again. Many observers were quick to note, however, that nationwide more students are taking college admission exam because of publicity-funded testing during the school day, which may explain the decline. Not so fast. Unfortunately, a growing body of research shows that IQs and intellectual abilities have steadily been decreasing among people born after 1975. Why? Giant smoking gun. Vaccines. 10 years after the publishing of The Dumbest Generation, how the digital age stupefies young Americans and jeopardizes our future, a bestseller by then Emory professor Mark Bauerlein, evidence suggests that we are getting only stupider. Bauerlein discussed with me where America stands on a one-decade anniversary of his book. And you go to my website, our website, healthmasters.com, and you can read the entire article on this. But guys, you think through this for a second. All that aluminum, all that mercury, all those chemtrails, all that fluoride, all those GMOs, all of this stuff. I mean, Harvard has published multiple studies now that fluoride alone massively lowers IQ points. All of it. And we're dumbing them down, dumbing them down, dumbing them down. Why? Why? Why are the people who took down Building 7, why are they trying to dumb down the population? Very simple. Because stupid people are easier to control. I can't be any more direct than that. If you get a person who's got a 75 or 80 IQ, you can pretty much tell them anything and they'll listen to you, you know, and they'll do what they're supposed to do. You get a person that has 105, 110, 120, 130, 140, up to 150, they don't want to listen to nothing you say. 170, 180, they're analyzing everything. Okay? So they don't want the American population to have a high IQ. Remember, in Somalia, the average IQ is like 60. 60? Well, yeah, that's why it's easy to tell somebody who's 60 to strap on a suicide vest, go blow it up, you get 60 virgins the next 30 seconds after you blow yourself up. Okay, let's go. That's what they think because they're not smart enough to think through it. And, of course, then marrying first cousin and marrying first cousin and marrying first cousin, there's a tendency to kind of drop down your IQ scores. You still need to be doing all that. By the way, another article just came out from Green Meadow Inflammation, and it's talking about vaccines and it's talking about breastfeeding. And now apparently the powers that be are telling us that breastfeeding, by calling breastfeeding natural, will discourage vaccine and formula use. Wait a minute. Because I'm telling you that breastfeeding is a natural thing for a mother to do. You can't do that anymore. It's not politically correct because it's going to discourage vaccine and formula use. Why is that? Here's why that happens. People who breastfeed read. They realize that formulas aren't going to work very well. They know that. So they're not going to use formulas. They're going to breastfeed. And all of a sudden they start reading the information on the breastfeeding, and they're really careful about their kids. They start thinking, wait a minute. You know, I need to really think and reevaluate what's going on with what's happening with these drugs and these chemicals and this food and these vaccines and this mercury and this aluminum. And these aborted fetal cells, yeah, maybe I don't want to do that.
In fact, a study published in the Journal of Pediatrics raises concern. This is a concern now over the use of the term natural to describe breastfeeding. So now they're going to say that breastfeeding is not natural, that it's some kind of weird perversion that you want to breastfeed a child. What kind of sickos are even saying stuff like that? Even though the weight of evidence and common sense indicates prioritizing breastfeeding over man-made formulas or vaccines is the best way to protect your child and your mother and the mother's health. And so, again, I'm posting this on the website. You can read it. And now we have to realize, guys, this is what they're doing. They're trying to make everything based on pharmaceutical. Vaccines are now being used to harvest biometric identities of everyone. Big Brother merges with Big Pharma. That's right. That's what they're doing. Biometric identities of everyone. Why? Because it's going to be easier to control us through a 5G control grid, because it's going to pick up what your DNA is putting out. This is what they're doing to us over and over and over again. And then when we fight back, Let me give you another little story. A couple of Proud Boys. I don't know who Proud Boys are. They say they're a white supremacist group, but I don't know what they are. I don't think they are. It says two Proud Boys are sentenced to 4 years in prison each for fighting back against Antifa. Two members of the Proud Boy group have been sentenced by a Manhattan judge. Maxwell Hare and John Kinsman, 40, had gotten to a fight with members of Antifa that were protesting a speech at the Metropolitan Republican Club by Proud Boys founder Gavin McGinnis. Both defendants faced as many as 15 years. They were convicted last August at trial of attempted gang assault, and riots stemming from the October the 12th, 2018 melee at the New York Post reports. Guys, so here's the thing. So Antifa can come up to you and spit on you and shove you and push you and threaten you with an iron pipe behind their mask. And they can walk with their boots on, and they can jackboot you in the face. They can do whatever they want to do to you. But when you fight back, you go to prison for 4 years. How does that work out for everybody? And so is the, how should I say, the non-justice system that has become the United States of America. I mean, when do you get to defend yourself? When do you not to have? When can you not allow somebody to spit on you? I mean, what happens with all of this stuff? So here's my thing that I'm going to tell you guys that I've told you so many times. If you have to defend yourself, defend yourself. I have no problem with you doing that. But remember, if you use force above what's required, or if you're in an area that's extremely liberal when you do this, like New York City, they're going to come after you. They're going to come after you with everything they have because they want to prove a point how you, the peasant, can't kick back against the tyrant, that you have to basically do what you're supposed to do regardless of whether you want to do it or not. Very, very important that you understand. So, by the way, interesting, Chuck Baldwin came out with an article yesterday, and I want to cover this briefly. And he was talking about what's happened with right-wing Christians and how they've ended up basically doing everything they possibly can to support Donald Trump, regardless of his consequences. And there's an article that was put out, and it says basically that, you know, it says, once upon a time, I've got this posted on the website. Once upon a time, evangelical leaders in the Southern Baptist Convention and beyond were an unwavering group, touting the authority of Scripture and an emphasis on Jesus Christ alone. They had pounded the pulpit, the radio airwaves, and print publications with the gospel of Jesus Christ. They were people of the book and people of conviction. Even if you didn't like what they had to say, you had to respect the clarity they spoke with. You knew where they stood. If there's one thing we human beings appreciate, is having our expectations met to some degree from LGBTQ liberals and Democratic politicians to hard right conservatives. We knew our differences and we knew where we stood. What's more, there was for the most part an agreement with evangelicalism and with denominations like the Southern Baptist Convention that certain false teachers would be marked and avoided. As Apostle Paul says in the letter to the Romans, no matter the political differences or denominational differences, evangelicals could rely on one thing. We did not promote certain charlatans who exploit desperate souls and make Christianity look horrific on a global level. But those days are gone. Guys, because there are so many people now who are trying to gain acceptance of the Trump White House. This article, you can read the whole article, I'm going to paraphrase it now. Because we've had so many people who want to gain acceptance, who've, so to say, been invited to the table to eat. At the king's table, which would be Donald Trump, the president of the United States, so I don't consider him a king, but this is how they look at him. They now have compromised their values and their messages from their pulpit
in order to promote Donald Trump, regardless of what he does. Guys, that is not what this republic was founded on. Now, I'll be the first person to publicly praise Donald Trump when he does stuff right, and I have many times. But I'll be the first person to say, hey, that's not okay, and condemn what he does. But guys, so many of these pastors from the pulpit now are basically doing everything he wants them to do and not thinking about how that's affecting the people in their flocks. I mean, this is crazy. In fact, another article just came out from the White House, says evangelicals have stuck by Trump, but polls hint at trouble ahead. Backlash from Trump's Syria decision has left him scurrying to shore up the critical element of his base. Now, why has this happened? In fact, Pat Robertson's now been warning Donald Trump again. Now, Pat Robertson's 90 years old. He should have retired a long time ago. But the problem is this, is that these hardcore Zionists don't want Trump to pull out of Syria. We could just talk about that for another hour, but we're not going to do that. And so we have to understand that we don't need to be in these foreign entanglements. Why have Zionists and so many Christians become warmongers? Why do they want to attack defenseless countries? Well, maybe they're not defenseless, but it's asymmetric warfare with us. Why do they want to do that to try to force our will onto these countries? In German, the term is Verrücktlauf, which means let them just do what they want to do. Verrücktlauf, run around crazy. Let them just do what they want to do. Why are we involved in any of these Middle Eastern stories and conflicts? I've told you why. You guys know why. You listen to the show. But the reality is the vast majority of Christians aren't thinking through. Love your neighbor as yourself. Turn the other cheek. You say, well, we should have to do that as Christians. Well, I'm not saying we can't defend ourselves. I'm not saying that. You've never heard me say that. But what I'm saying is this. A gentle answer turns away wrath. You know, we've got the biggest nuclear arsenal in the world. We have space-based weapons systems. We can lay waste to entire regions if we want from space. From space. You know, Judy Wood thinks that's what happened with 9/11, with the Twin Towers. We have that kind of technology. We don't have to be running around and yanking everybody's chain and killing millions of people in the Middle East and then wondering later why they hate us. Let those guys do what they're going to do over there. We're the largest oil producer in the world now. The United States could have always been that way. I mean, we don't need the Middle Eastern oil. We don't even need it. We can ramp up our production in this country. We can use Tesla energy and get away from all of that. See, this is the problem that we have. We've allowed ourselves, and Christians, listen to me. You've allowed it to happen. I've allowed it to happen. I've fussed about it. I've tried to stop it. I've voted against it. When George Bush pushed that Patriot Act, I warned everybody what just happened. I warned everybody. It was before our show. I said, this is a nightmare. The National Defense Authorization Act popped up. And then all these other different committees, all this crap jumped all over us. Why? Because it was the gradual enslavement. Then we have Donald Trump. And I'm going to say this. I'm going on record. Hillary Clinton could have never pushed red flag gun laws in the United States of America. As she opened her mouth about it, the evangelicals and the right-wingers would have gone insane. And they would have – I mean, it would have been unbelievable what would have happened. We would have had millions of people marching in Washington, D.C. if Hillary Clinton had tried to pull a stunt like this. Donald Trump did it without a peep from the evangelical community because they were so enamored and in love with this serial adulterer. They were willing to allow him to do anything he wanted to do because it wasn't Hillary in office. Are you kidding me? That's past. I'm done with it. And we've got to realize we've got to hold him accountable. He pushed the red flag gun laws in Florida, and now he's pushing them nationwide with his daughter talking to every member of Congress, and he's allowing it to happen. We've been hoodwinked, and we've got to hold this guy accountable. I'm not saying that he can't do stuff right and we can't pray for him, which we need to do every single day. I pray for the mess in Washington on a regular basis, but guys, we can't allow them to lie to us and pretend like these things aren't happening. I mean, right now, George Soros, again, that's a Rothschild cutout. He is saying that globalism is back on the rise. And he's now also saying, and the State Department now is using George Soros' linked media tracking tool to illegally monitor, you know, journalists around the country. I mean, this is happening right now as we speak. This Orwellian state is upon us and doing what it needs to do. And the circus show from Washington, D.C. continues. And people like Bette Midler, who's basically a has-been weirdo, she basically said we should be grateful for the neighbor who beat the SH out of Rand Paul. She came out and said this because she doesn't like Rand Paul. She doesn't like libertarians. She doesn't like freedom-loving, constitutionally-minded people who want the republic to prosper. And this is Hollywood. And this is what they do. And we have sat back and we've allowed it to happen, and we have not stood in the gap. We can't do that. We have to find a way, and continue to find a way, that, you know, we're going to have to stand against what's happening to slow this onslaught of tyranny down. And by the way, guys, Donald Trump is not the answer. You do not have a spiritual solution. A political solution for a spiritual problem with Donald Trump. He's a deeply compromised, deeply flawed individual. And then I hear my evangelical friends say, well, we didn't hire a saint to be the president. We hired this guy. I'm like, okay. Then you got to turn and you got to look at what he's doing. You got to look at the fact that he's put more CFR members in the White House and in his administration than George Bush did or Barack Obama. That he's dropped more bombs in the Middle East than Barack Obama did in 8 years, already in 3 years. You've got to look at what he's done. And you've got to say, okay, this is not okay, and not hoorah, hoorah, let's go to another Trump rally. I'm so frustrated with all this stuff, Austin. What do you think? What's your next story?
Well, there's no doubt about it. I mean, we continue to, you know, need to be getting the truth out there on a lot of different topics, because one thing that I think a lot of people continue to do, and it's very easy to do because of how prevalent it is with the media, is they get so wrapped up in the concept of the Donald Trump being the president and all the stuff that he's supposed to do or doesn't do, and he has done some things good and he's done some things really bad, is that, you know, all of this stuff is constantly used as obfuscation to keep us from looking at the real truth. I mean, there was another congressional hearing with Zuckerberg again, and Congressman Posey blatantly asked him why they are going and essentially censoring any type of vaccine truth. And I didn't say anti-vaccine topic, I said vaccine truth topics on what's going on. And he said, you know, the federal government has created a vaccine trust fund that's paid out over $4 billion to compensate those who have been injured for vaccines. There's no more clear, persuasive statement that a risk is associated with vaccines than the existence of the payment record of the fund. And Zuckerberg comes in and tries to completely sidestep it. And he goes, well, we focus on misinformation, and there was a hoax that was going viral. And then Congressman Posey stops him. He goes, are you 100% confident that vaccines pose no risk whatsoever to anyone on the planet? He asked Zuckerberg that. And Zuckerberg goes, I don't think it'd be possible for anyone to be 100% confident, but my understanding is the scientific consensus is that it's important to people to get vaccines. And Posey comes back and he goes, so $4 billion has been paid out by the fund to thousands of people. Shouldn't those people have the opportunity to express an opinion different than yours? And it went back and forth, and Zuckerberg kept trying to sidestep around it, and of course he never answered the question fully. He tried to, oh well, we only do this and we only do that, which is complete hogwash. You can go on Facebook, you can go on Google, you can go on YouTube, you can go on all of that stuff is getting heavily suppressed right now, Facebook being one of the worst. And this is why. They don't want people to talk about the truth. They don't want to talk about aborted fetal tissue, completely intact DNA that's mutated in the new MMRV vaccine. They don't want to talk about that. We talk about this stuff all the time. It's not because I enjoy talking about the sick stuff they put in these vaccines, because it's a horrible topic to discuss. But I bring it up because everybody has a right to know the truth. If you decide to vaccinate, I don't care. That's your choice. If you decide not to vaccinate, and on the other aspect, I really don't care either. I can't be involved with every single person in the entire United States and what they do all the time. I can only give you the truth and give you the information and try to get it out there and allow people to make an informed decision and give their consent. This is what they're trying to remove from us. This is why they're trying to remove our ability to speak freely. This is why they're trying to dub anything that's not what goes along with the narrative hate speech. It doesn't even matter if it really is hate speech, whatever hate speech really even is, because nobody still has clearly defined hate speech. It's anything you say basically that can be taken as hateful, which can be just about anything involving anything. If somebody doesn't agree with it, they can perceive it to be hateful. But then they're going to turn around, and as Dad said yesterday so clearly, that's why they're setting this up. Once they get the laws of hate speech in place, then this, that which will pertain pretty much to dissolving the First Amendment, Then they're going to roll in to the red flag gun laws, which are going to completely dissolve the Second Amendment. When they can start going in, when they've already done this, and you say a comment, you make a statement, you say something that somebody believes is threatening, they go in and they now have the right in 17 different states across the country to seize your firearms with no due process. Period. Gone. No firearm rights. 5 years, you can't even get them back in California. Once they try to push this on a federal level, it'll be an entire another animal to tackle, because getting that regulation rolled back is going to be next to impossible. This is why they're doing it. The hate speech laws are going to dissolve the first, and the red flag gun laws are going to dissolve the second. Once the first and the second are gone, the rest of the Constitution's basically toilet paper, to be honest with you, because there's nothing left to protect anything else, because now you have no firearms to protect yourself, and you can't speak freely, so you basically have to shut yourself up and censor yourself for fear of reprisal, because you have no firearms to basically defend yourself. So everything else goes out the window at that point. And this is what they're planning to do. And these are two huge topics that we have to get the truth out on. Free speech and the ability to arm yourself legally through the constitutional law has to be brought up and discussed and upheld as long as we can physically do so without any violence. And then you have to go on and you start looking at all these things that are going across the country and why they're trying to spread this globalism, like Dad said. I saw an article earlier today. This is so troubling, because I went to Sweden when I was younger. We've told you guys that before on vacation there. Beautiful country, really friendly people. Now, the West African gangs have become so prevalent in Sweden now. They're saying that a new report released by Swedish police says that there are now 50 organized West African, North African, or Middle Eastern gangs operating in Sweden's capital of Stockholm currently. 50 organized gangs, which is up from just 39 in 2015. The numbers are getting close to doubling in 4 to 5 years. Of how many organized gangs are taking over. They said the biggest one over there is the Black Axe, which is a West African gang known for human trafficking, gun running, drug running, and prostitution. They said the international crime is based out of Nigeria, the Black Axe, and they're huge in voodoo. They like putting voodoo spells on people and trafficking women. They also like selling dope, basically selling cocaine and heroin. They basically launched in European operations in Italy and have now been progressing north. They said they've already taken over Stockholm, Malmo, and Gothenburg, and now they've set their signs on Uppsala, and they're trying to basically take that area over. They basically control all the prostitution, all the human trafficking, and all the drugs in the area because of how unbelievably violent and militant they are. Remember, a lot of these individuals grew up in areas, especially in West Africa, where you cut people's limbs off and heads off because you have a disagreement about whose chicken's in the driveway or on the sidewalk. You can watch videos online. There's a video the other day, I told you guys about this. It was in the middle of Africa. They're on this like dirt road in the middle of this dirt town. Two dudes get in a machete fight. Just a machete fight. They're talking about something, and somebody records it on a camera phone, and they get in a machete fight. They start fighting with a machete. And then two other dudes pop out of nowhere with machetes. And now you got four dudes that are fighting all of each other with machetes. People are getting cut. People are getting knifed. People are bleeding out. Everybody's running around. And then everybody just runs off, bleeding. And I'm going, what did I just watch? Did we really just have a machete fight in 2019 over what looked like something really, 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 really minor? I mean, but that's how a lot of these individuals grow up. And now we've had to push them into the European concept of life, which the globalists have done via George Soros by this massive immigration plan that basically Merkel set forward in Germany, and has pushed all these individuals and driven them all up through Europe now. And so now these individuals that know nothing but essentially drugs, violence, and warfare are pushed in the first world countries where they're supposed to behave, and now we see what's going on in Sweden. This is why we have to preserve the national freedom and the nationality of America. There's nothing wrong with people coming to this country. It's fantastic when people migrate here, especially if they're bringing positivity with them. But as we said at the beginning of the show, if people are coming here and they're wanting to bring their negativity and their baggage from other countries and their absolute horrible attitude and all their violent behavior that they're still staring at in the rearview mirror from their other country, and they don't want to adopt civil Christian American standards, they have no business being in this country. That's not hate speech. That's not being racist. That's not being bigoted. That's being factual about preserving the Christian national heritage of a country that I call my home and I call the greatest country here. And until America stands back up and starts being vocal about that, and we can have a reasonable conversation back and forth without being called neo-Nazi skinhead racist, because I don't want individuals from another country bringing their baggage here and not wanting to assimilate, then we really, really, really are starting to have an issue. That's why we have to speak the truth, and we have to get this information out there so people talk about it. The more people that talk about it, the more information spreads, and the more that it spreads, we can try to maintain what we have as a constitutional republic. At least that's my opinion, Dan.
Well, you're absolutely right, Austin, and the thing about it is that's why they want to get rid of the First Amendment. That way we can't talk about it. That's why they want it gone.
Yep.
Because when we discuss things like this on this show, it makes people think. I mean, you think about it. Socialists, those communists had already taken over Sweden as a socialist state. They were giving everything away for free. All these people that were coming into Sweden were getting all the stuff for free, and it still wasn't enough. They wanted to bring their hellhole of a country back into Sweden, and people don't get that. The assimilation process doesn't work if the population being brought in is too big. It doesn't work. It can't work. They want to recreate where they came from, where they were hacking off of limbs. So you think, well, why would they do that when everything's free in Sweden? Because they're idiots. They got a 60 IQ. There, I said it. Can I be any more direct than that? They're idiots. And they want to destroy what they have. They don't care. They were raised in a hell hole, and they don't care. That's what they are. Speaking of hell holes, gosh, China's pig bull epidemic now has led to an increased demand for dog meat in China. Yeah, you think dogs are your man's best friend in the United States. They are dinner in China. China's devastating outbreak of African swine fever, is nicknamed pig Ebola by outside observers, has compelled the destruction of millions of pigs and created a shortage of pork severe enough to put dog and rabbit meat back on the menu in rural areas. Yeah, we wonder why nobody wants to live in China. Guys, I love you. This is one of those heartfelt shows. I hope you enjoyed that show. This show, I'm not even sure I'm going to leave this one on the archives because it's got too much personal stuff in it. But guys, I love you, and you got to hear the show today. I appreciate you. I got to pray for you this morning. God bless you. Also, go ahead and do the write-up, and I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Yes, absolutely. And again, thank you so much for all the support. Thank you for the emails. I'm trying to get caught back up on those. I've been really busy with this house build right now, getting stuff done with it every single day, and pulling my subs and whatnot. So again, thank you for the support. If you need anything, feel free to call us for immediate attention or immediate help, as far as if you need any advice or supplemental advice or, you know, food diet advice. Be sure to give us a call up, and our staff can help you out immediately, 9 to 5 Monday through Friday, 1-800-726-1834. Guys, thank you for, again, supporting Health Masters. Be sure to check out the B Complex on sale. Product of the week, healthmasters.com. Stay sharp, stay alert, be prepared at all times, and enjoy life. You guys have a wonderful, awesome night. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.